The next coach on the teleconference is Iowa's Kirk Ferentz. Iowa has a bye this week before visiting Minnesota on October 6th. Coach, thank you very much for joining us. If you could give us some quick opening comments, then we'll go ahead and open the call for questions.
Yeah, sure. We had a tough defeat against a good Wisconsin team on Saturday night. The stadium was fantastic. We just had a really good football environment, and the fans couldn't have been better. And it was really, a really tough, hard-fought game by both teams. So they prevailed. They did a great job, and, our guys played hard as well. So, we've got to move on and take advantage of a bye week here, and then we'll get ready for our next game next week.
Thank you, Coach. We'll go ahead and open it up for questions now.
To ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. As a reminder, if there are no questions in the queue, following 2 prompts, we will conclude that coach's portion of the call. Your first question is from Mark Emmert, Des Moines Register.
Good morning, Kirk.
Hey, Mark.
I just wanted to get an update maybe on a couple of situations. Looks like Matt Hankins went out, and I think Brady Ross also. What's the status of those two this week?
Brady's fine. Matt's got, a couple issues right now. We'll see how that goes this week. And then, Nick Neiman's probably the guy that you missed because he got hurt on the last play. And Nick is one guy I can comment on. He's probably going to miss a couple weeks here with a leg injury.
Wow. Who are you looking at to replace him then?
We'll fool around this week, see what it looks like. Barrington Wade's the next guy in the depth chart. Christian Walsh has played out there, so we'll take this week and just kind of fool around with that and see what it looks like.
Now, I wanted to get your thoughts on A.J. Epenesa in terms of his progress this year versus last year and maybe what it would take maybe to get him some more snaps in games.
Well, it's a world of difference from this year to last year. He was just out of high school, so everything was new to him. I mean, just basically everything, not just football, but everything he was doing. So, like anybody, there's a big adjustment when you leave high school, especially if you're a football player and try to go, play college football. But he did some good things last year. I think he learned as the year went on. And we've been really pleased. He's got a great attitude, and he's working at it. And he's improved, clearly. And he's a better football player now than he was at any point last year. And we think we have a good, healthy rotation. The other two guys, Parker Hesse's been a captain every week, and he's probably one of our best football players, period, on our football team. And Anthony Nelson's pretty good, too. So, it's one of those rare situations where we have three good players. It's certainly not a knock or a commentary on AJ. Anything he's doing wrong is just that, he's at a position where we got two of the better guys on our team. So, we're really pleased with what he's doing, really pleased with his progress. And we consider it kind of a luxury item to have three guys that you can play at, two spots.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Again, if you have a question, simply press star, then the number 1. Your next question is from Adam Rittenberg, ESPN.
Hi, Kirk. I'm asking a number of coaches about the red shirt rule, and there have been a number of a small group of older players around the country that have transferred either this week or last week to sort of take advantage of that and not have the season count against their eligibility. I'm just curious if that was something you thought could happen with this rule. I know most coaches are excited about it, but was that ever talked about or something that you thought about that could happen with older players?
Yeah, I've seen headlines where I've seen guys leaving. I guess I didn't think that deeply into it or thought of it in those terms. But I think it's a great rule. I mean, me personally, I wish everybody just had 5 years eligibility. It'd make it a lot cleaner and simpler. But I like this is a step in the right direction, in my opinion. It's good for the players, and, it's probably good for everybody. And, if a guy's going to transfer, he's going to transfer. So, that's just kind of the way it goes. And I don't know if that's relative to playing time or whatever. Our transfers have tended to be more quarterbacks where, we have a clearly established number one. And, then a guy leaves. Tyler Wiggers is doing a great job up at Eastern Michigan right now. So, those things I better understand where, it's one position and that guy plays predominantly at that position. So I don't know if that's ever going to go away. But the other stuff, we haven't had a lot of that.
Do you talk to your staff about it this time of year that it's week five and it's sort of the kind of almost the deadline for guys to make a move if they're going to, or do you just kind of wait and see if any players come forward with any concerns or their situation?
I kind of looked at it, a couple categories of guys. The quarterback is impacted the most, obviously. You know, if your backup quarterback's a redshirtable guy, this gives you an opportunity to, still have him be your number two, which, you think about Drew Tate or, even Nate Stanley, that would have been good for both those guys. But then there's other guys that are clearly going to play, and then there are other guys that, we're treading water on, maybe we don't. We had that discussion last night. But there are, we have no way to predict where we'll be in November either. So I think the nice thing is that, there might be some guys that have improved enough where we could throw them in and, use them maybe in November to finish the season out, that type of deal. So I think there are a lot of options, and it's, to me, that's a real positive for everybody.
Great. Thanks, Kirk.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Sam.
Your next question is from Mike DeFabo, CNHI.
Hey, Coach. Elsewhere in the Big Ten West, there are going to be two teams, Nebraska and Purdue, going head-to-head. Both have similar coaches in a way, where they're young coaches who fashion themselves as offensive kind of gurus, I guess you could say. The Big Ten Conference is traditionally known as more of a defensive conference and a conference that runs the football. How do you feel like these new coaches, in with their, spread schemes, how do you think that they're going to change the shape of the conference?
You're probably talking to the wrong guy. I was here in 81 when Mike White was coaching at Illinois. They came in and set a stadium passing record in 1982. I think it was 410 yards, and I think it was David Wilson, quarterback. I can't – don't quote me on that. I'll be I'm probably wrong on both of them. But and I think we beat them, 14-7 or 14-10, something like that. So, it's not new to the conference. And, both those guys are excellent coaches. I mean, they've – their resumes speak for themselves. They're tremendous coaches. That's one thing about the Big Ten. There are a lot of really good programs. I think there's a good variety of approaches, and that's kind of representative of college football in general. But, just a lot of excellent coaches, excellent programs. And I think you are right that our conference is a little bit more defensive-oriented than maybe some of them. And I got that education really reinforced when we played Stanford a couple of years ago in the Rose Bowl. They were 440 yards a game, something like that, and 35 points a game, and they were right in the middle of their conference. I was like, holy smokes, that's unbelievable. We take those numbers any day of the week, So, it's a little different conference that way. But I think we've always had great diversity in terms of the way people play and approach the game.
Great, very good. Thank you very much.
Yep.
Coach, thank you for your time, and we'll talk to you again
okay.
next week.
Sounds good. Thanks.